B-Pod Studios.
Now, the show you'll be talking about in therapy.
That wasn't nice.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Colts have Matt Ryan, and this is another guy who's going from the NFC to the AFC. Yeah. Bart, the AFC is stacked. Where do you put the Colts?
I put them right there in the mix, right? Because if we want to give credit to the Tennessee Titans last year and say that they were a legitimate threat, which they were before King Henry got hurt, we have to say that, you know, the Colts offer the same similar type of roster. With the emergence of Taylor, you think about Pittman. I think they have to go out there. Let's see if he can court a guy like Julio Jones, because they need somebody opposite of Pittman that can be a viable threat. But you talk about a great offensive line. You talk about the ability to strength the game and limit the possessions of a game. You talk about being able to control the clock. I think they have everything. I think they move ahead to Tennessee Titans, because at this point, if you ask me to pick between Ryan Tannehill and you ask me to pick between Matty Ice, I'm going to go with Matty Ice, whose completion percentage has really improved and still is an elite player. He's only 37 years old. We talk about Aaron Rodgers at 37 years old, like he's, you know, Benjamin Button, you know, and I think we talk about, you know, Matt Ryan, like he's like the old man in the building. He's not.
Fourth and final hour here, Felger and Maz. Mike is out. Jim Murray's alongside. Adam Jones here to give us headlines and his usual peanut gallery nonsense. And we played that for you earlier. That was, again, Bart Scott on Get Up This Morning on ESPN talking about how the Indianapolis Colts are very much in the mix in the AFC. Add another team to the list. Add another team to the list. This was obviously a development yesterday, but we were catching up on all sorts of stuff from the weekend, from the Trevor Story acquisition with the Red Sox to the Hampus Lindholm acquisition with the Bruins, all kinds of stuff going on. But today felt like the day to get back to the Patriots and catch up on the reality that is now the AFC. And if you are a Patriots fan, I don't know how you could look at all of this, all of these maneuvers, all of these acquisitions that other teams have made, and feel anything but annoyed, frustrated, and downright pissed at the Patriots for being where they are right now. And for those of you who want to take the long view and say that the Patriots are building something here as they turn this over to Mac Jones and go forward, let me remind you that Joe Burrow was in his second season last year in Cincinnati. Cincinnati. And went to the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, in his second year as a starter, went to the Super Bowl. So the idea of a quarterback ending up in the Super Bowl in his second season is hardly a stretch. In fact, it's usually when you start to see a jump and a guy start to develop into the kind of player he can be. So if you believe in Mac Jones, and many of you do, then you have even more reason to be frustrated, if you ask me. I just don't know how you can look at the landscape of the conference right now and feel like the Patriots have not lost major ground to the rest of the field. Major. And if you're a fan, you should be pissed. I'm not going to tell you how to feel, okay? I know this. If I were you, I'd be pissed. That's probably a better way to say it.
I just get, from talking to my buddies, like, I just get the impression that people are just confused. They don't understand what the hell this offseason is all about. Like, what's the plan? Why are you peeling parts of your offensive line off when your offensive game plan had to do so much with the offensive line and the ability to run the ball? So now, I don't know, what the hell are you going to do? And how are you going to take some of that pressure off of Mac Jones, especially when he was getting killed at times last year, too? As good as they were at blocking for the run, their pass protection wasn't all that great at times. It's not like you've added any other kind of weapons yet. You could maybe still do that. Maybe, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. still out there, Jarvis Landry. But as of right now, the overall feeling I get from Patriots fans, buddies of mine, is just like they're confused. They don't know what the hell's happening.
I'll tell you what. If Maz won't tell you to get pissed, I'll tell you to get pissed. Be pissed about it. You should be pissed about it. Like, I think the only time the Patriots respond are when Patriots fans are pissed. Didn't we just see that a couple off seasons ago? Or this past off season, rather, when Brady wins a Super Bowl and fans are going, oh, wow, he really embarrassed them. And wow, that's pretty bad for they better figure it out. I mean, fans were happy for Brady, but they were pissed at the state of the team. I think they could use a few more pissed off fans around here. Like, maybe it would get the team's attention, get Bill's attention, get Robert's attention to go spend some money and do something. So yeah, get pissed. What's the harm?
I mean, there's a lot of time between now and the start of training camp. Okay, so I want to be fair about that part of it. But I don't know how they make up some of the ground that they've lost. I mean, you go right around. You say, look at the quarterback change in the conference alone. Russell Wilson's in Denver now. Matt Ryan's in Indianapolis now. Deshaun Watson has left Houston, but now he's with a Cleveland team that has a much better roster than the Texans did. Obviously, he didn't play last year. And you want to say Deshaun Watson's going to miss six games, potentially. Yes. Would you take him for 10 if you were a team?
Oh, of course.
Of course you would.
Because
yeah.
I would. And so the Browns are going to be a factor. And I pointed this out earlier that now that Matt Ryan is with Indianapolis, obviously Tennessee is in the same division. The other two teams in that division are Jacksonville and Houston, who both blow. Both of those teams could go 5-1, meaning Indianapolis and Tennessee could go both go 5-1 in their division. And when we start rattling off the list of teams in the AFC now, and we did this earlier in the show, you start to get a little further down that list. The Patriots, if they do it all, barely crack the top 10. I don't need to tell everybody that seven teams make the playoffs. Murray, you think they're out?
Yeah, as of right now, I do, yeah.
Do you think there's any way they can make up that ground?
Oh, sure. I mean, but you're battling with the likes of, I think, you know, look, I don't think they're going to win the division. I think, look, as Jones correctly points out, every time the Bills come up, you can't even get them to punt. So you're not close to them. You can forget about the division, in my opinion. So you're fighting for a wild card spot. But that's you and I think the likes of Baltimore, the Raiders, Tennessee. I think they're all better than you. They all have their big question marks, as do you. But I don't know. Like, Miami's going to be in that mix, too, I think. Maybe Pittsburgh. So that last wild card spot, or one of those last two wild card spots, there's other teams that are on your level and might be better than you.
See, the problem here isn't the Patriots roster. I mean, it is. But
it is.
No. But my point is that there still might be a way for them to address some of those needs. Like, I brought up the name Jarvis Landry earlier. I like Jarvis Landry. I think Jarvis Landry would be a good guy for Mac Jones. I still think Jarvis Landry can play. Maybe Bill can get him on a discount. Maybe that'll make us all feel better. How does that, though, take away from what the other teams have done?
Right. Does that counterbalance or even outweigh Denver getting Russell Wilson?
Exactly.
Or the Browns getting Watson? Like, not even close. It's a nice move. We'd all applaud it. We'd say, hey, good, now they're doing something. But does it outweigh what the other teams are doing? No.
I mean, anything you do now is to just get back in the game.
Yeah, and by the way, you're talking about the likes of the Texans. Like, these teams like the Texans and the Jaguars and the Jets, also in your division, a couple of those teams, the Jets and the Jaguars, just spent like you did last year. So, I don't know. Is a 2-0 against the Jets next season a guarantee? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, or are the Jaguars making a leap with the spending and a year or two leap with Trevor Lawrence? I know that kind of pushes back on what you were saying with the easy division, but like, if the Jaguars were all of a sudden good and Trevor Lawrence was good, that's another team that passed you, that wouldn't shock me. Like, I'm not forecasting that today, but that wouldn't shock me at all.
So those suck teams have also improved, and that might take another win away from New England, is my point.
That brings up something an emailer brought up earlier that I'll ask you guys in a second. Okay, because again, I said earlier, we listed the best teams, the real contenders in the AFC earlier in the show, and all three of us got to about 10 deep, and I'm estimating.
11. Jones and I were 11.
Okay, so 10 or 11 deep before we get to the Patriots. Okay, there's another way of looking at that, which we'll do in the next segment, now that I think of that. Robert's in Tennessee. Robert, go.
Yes. I was just curious. Bill Belichick, you know, I've always believed in him. However, the Cowboys, when Tom Landry was their coach, let him stay too long. Do you think that we're in a situation where we let Bill stay too long?
I think that is entirely possible, yes. Do I think we're there yet? I don't know. Murray, do you have an opinion on that? Do you have a final judgment yet?
No, I don't think the judgment can be made just yet. I think the talk of firing him now is premature. I think this year should really be a full, hard assessment by the Crafts. In other words, if they were to slide back again, like they did a couple of years ago when Cam Newton was here, and you see a actual regression in your second-year quarterback, well, the Crafts are well within their right to say, like, look what you surrounded this kid with these idiot coaches. You didn't really spend all that much, or you didn't make any kind of aggressive moves in this offseason. Maybe they didn't draft that well again. They don't make the playoffs, and they only have 6-5 wins, something horrific like that. well, then we can have that conversation. But to do that now, I think, is premature.
I think it's a massive year for Belichick. I think they all are now. I said the same thing a year ago because they were coming off a bad season, and they got better. I think they have to basically keep getting better every year now. I think that's really important for Bill. 617-779-0985 on Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boss.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
Breaking news. Matt Ryan is going to the Colts.
Wow. I mean, big time. I don't even know what to say. Game changer. Another good quarterback in the AFC, by the way. Holy crapola. But yes, the Colts are so close. You know, they're going to be willing to be aggressive to make these moves. Ballard's got the team and the roster right in the spot you want it. They just made a trade to get another difference maker on defense. You know that was one of my issues with them all year last year.
Uh-huh.
One more difference maker on offense and defense. They were missing one Jimmy or Joe that I felt like the other teams that were elite in the NFL had, and they didn't. And I still think that, like I said, I think they're still one guy away, despite the quarterback. They need another receiver or somebody like that that can be, you know, their dynamic playmaker that way. And man, you get Matt Ryan, he fits that offense, man, that'll be a big time. I can't get over the AFC. I've never seen anything like it.
Again, excuse me. That's Chris Sims from his podcast Unbutton yesterday. Yesterday, when the news of the Matt Ryan deal to Indianapolis broke. As he said, another good quarterback in the AFC. And earlier in the day today, we had a little exercise here where we started going through the teams in the AFC. And we said, you know, list them in order. We put them in tiers, as we like to do.
Yeah.
Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3. I think all three of us had the Patriots in Tier 3, except Murray actually had them in Tier 4.
Tier 4, teams I think are kind of trash that might surprise you, but it's unlikely. It's them, Miami, Pittsburgh.
So I had them, you know, at 10th best in the conference, or in a group that would be vying for that area, okay? I sort of try to group them. Jones and Murray had them at 11th. But here's maybe a different way and better way, a simpler way to look at it. How many teams in the conference can we now say are definitively worse? So come from the other side. The Patriots are better than the Jets.
Better than the Jets, they're better than Houston, they're better than Jacksonville. Yeah, they're better than
Jacksonville. Jones, would you cut the crap?
What? Would you be that shocked if Jacksonville went out and spent like you last year, had their quarterback take off in year two? Like,
their quarterback's better than Mac Jones.
Okay, they're better, but like, I don't know. Would I be like Jacksonville? I'm not locking up Jacksonville that the Patriots are better than them. I'd pick the Patriots ahead of them, but I'm not locking it up.
Okay, so teams you would pick the Patriots definitely ahead of.
Well, then, obviously, it's five. I have the Patriots 11th, so there's five teams after them. But
well, who are the other two, Jones? Play the game.
I'm sorry. So the other teams are, Dolphins, Jets, Jaguars, Texans. I guess it's only four, right? If the
Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh is the other one. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, Pittsburgh is it. Five.
And Pittsburgh and Miami are close.
Yeah.
Kind of close.
I mean, those I could easily be talked into taking them over you.
I mean, Miami beat them twice last year.
Right.
So, and look, Pittsburgh, I don't like Trubisky either. How could you?
But now they get that nerd coach, and again, Trubisky's in Pittsburgh, so, yeah.
So, I think Pittsburgh might be the worst team in that division. I think Baltimore's going to be better than Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh could be in trouble. So, again, they're going to have to
It's Cincinnati and Cleveland are going to be fighting for the division title. And, yeah, the Ravens will be improved. There's no way they're going to be as injured as they were last year. Yeah, Pittsburgh's the worst in that division.
Now, whether you love Lamar Jackson or hate him, he's better than what Pittsburgh's got.
Former MVP.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so, again, Pittsburgh's got the worst quarterback in the division. So they're going to have trouble running uphill there. But the point being, if you look at it from that vantage point, Jacksonville, Houston, and the Jets, Miami has beaten the Patriots. Like, that one's close. What did Miami go last year? 9-8?
Yes.
Did they finish 9-8?
Yeah,
the Patriots were 10-7. That was a one-game difference. And so that one's not a slam dunk. And then I do think the Patriots are better than Pittsburgh, but that's it. When you start thinking of it in those terms, you can understand maybe why Patriots fans sound as demoralized as they are. I mean, holy crap, when you think of it. Jacksonville, the Jets, and Houston? You're going to be proud of being in front of those teams? Blech! Makes you want to vomit. Our buddy Tom and Quincy. Tom, go.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, with the influx with all these quarterbacks coming to the AFC, they're going to be chucking the ball all over the place. Isn't it time that the Pats try to make a move for someone that can actually cover? they've made no acquisitions for the secondary at all. And if you got guys, you know, they're not going to draft a kid and start him off the bat. Why aren't they going for one of these stopgap veterans like Hayden or Peterson or whoever the hell to get somebody that will be better than what they currently have going out there?
Okay, so look, it's a fair point, Tom. But, you know, as much as we focus on what the other teams have, I was reading this today that there's a story, I think it was in The Athletic, biggest needs for every team in the NFL, remaining needs for every team in the NFL, you know, a week plus in a free agency. The Patriots is cornerback. Corner. You agree with that, don't you?
Yeah. A corner, offensive line, wide receiver.
I still have receiver at the top of the list, but it's neck and neck with corner.
Yeah. I mean, corner's pretty bad right now that J.C. Jackson's gone.
Well, and I hadn't thought about it the way Tom put. I know you're a big believer in this, Maz. Like, Bill will build his team to that year's schedule and, like, what you might have to play. I mean, does the team feel built to play against the AFC quarterbacking class? Not at all.
No, so I was just looking to see who their opponents were this
year. Well, right, based it on the schedule. So you're going to add, you know, considering that everyone, or we'll consider that everyone's going to be healthy here. So they'll see Lamar Jackson, Burrow, Matt Ryan, and obviously Josh Allen all here.
Yeah, loss. Yep.
On the road, Kyler Murray.
Loss.
Watson.
Loss.
Obviously Allen.
Loss.
Aaron Rodgers.
Loss.
Derek Carr.
Loss.
And who cares about Kirk Cousins in Minnesota? They suck.
Loss.
And in Pittsburgh with Mitch Trubisky.
Tie.
So they do get some...
And they have some lambs in there.
No, they definitely get some lambs. In fact, I think they have the schedule might actually be on the favorable side, Murray. Jared Goff in Detroit, the Jets twice, Miami twice. And again, I know they've lost, but it's not like Tua has lit them up. The Bears, you know, so maybe the schedule isn't as bad. That might be one of the few things they have in their advantage. And see, that's fairness on the part of Felger and Mass.
Oh, yes.
Because we usually rip their schedule for being soft, which it is again now.
No, that chair is all about fairness, Tony. I don't know if you knew that. That's the fair chair is what that is.
And you have to be a truth teller.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Exactly. Which I am.
Yeah.
Which I am. And again, never trust a team broadcaster, Jimmy Story. Remember the golden rule. So again, we've had other topics today. Anthony and Natick on the Celtics. Go ahead, Anthony.
I'm just waiting for the ball to drop. And I don't want to, but the Celtics fan inside me is just like, when are they going to start acting like a bunch of babies on the court again? And I just wish in one of these interviews, one of them would be honest. Because, guys, the change in the team is their attitude. They're starting to finally like alphas, or maybe they grew up or whatever. I just wish one of them would be like, hey, what's the difference? I wish one of them would just be like, yeah, we grew up. But my concern is, if they get slapped in the face in the playoffs, does everything go out the window and their attitude change? Because that's all it is an attitude change. And that's why they're doing what they're doing. I'm just, every night I turn the TV on, I'm like, just don't revert back. But I'm bought, but I'm skeptical.
So, Anthony, I'll tell you what. I can understand why you feel that way. Because, again, if they were to get into a series playing someone decent, pretty good, and they get down 2-0, can they come back from that?
I don't know.
Like, the way they're playing? Sure.
Yeah.
But their history would tell you no, because they start chucking chairs and water bottles at one another and start screaming at each other, and everybody wants the ball, and everybody wants the last shot, and it's not their fault, and... That's their history. So, right, if they get pushed, it goes back to what a caller said, I don't know, earlier this hour or end of last hour. If they really get pushed, how do they respond? I still have the same fears that caller does.
Everyone should, because the bigger sample size is that, you know, they can end up acting like a bunch of bitches and the thing goes sideways and that's it. They end up getting wiped out in that first round, no matter who they're playing, because they're down early.
I mean, I would not rule that out with them. In fact, in a lot of ways, it would mean more if they got behind a team like Miami 2-1 and then came back to win in 7.
Absolutely.
It would mean a hell of a lot more if they did it that way. Justin's in Connecticut. Go ahead, Justin.
Thank you, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, thanks.
So you asked earlier how the Patriots fans felt about the offseason. I'm 24 years old. Brady's my quarterback. Go Bucks. But with that said, if the Patriots get a receiver, I will stop being so pessimistic. I'll stop being so negative. I sort of kind of trust Bill Belichick on the defensive side of the ball, although this coaching staff is just horrendous. They're wretched. And Adam Jones, the board knows. The board knows better than Belichick. Thank you very much.
Okay, he's talking about the
Felgram-Mass big board.
Yeah, when does that start?
Usually we do it a week before the draft. So we got about a month to go there, right?
Okay,
the draft at the beginning of May this year?
Yeah.
You guys want to give yourselves 2 weeks? It's a lot of names to pick.
You know,
like give yourself some extra time. It's a lot of names.
Jones.
You really spread it out.
Just because you are not a believer, Jones, just because you are not a believer, don't mock the power of the big board.
Give yourselves like a month.
Okay? Don't mock the power of the big board. As opposed to all these other stupid draft magazines.
I know, that go 0-for-1.
No, that jackasses like you read and think that they all have some inside info. The Felgram-Mass big board has every bit the integrity of those magazines do, and in fact, it has more.
Further insight.
That's true. There's nothing I root against more come draft season than the Felgram-Mass big board.
Jones, shut your pie hole. Shut your pie hole. We have a special guest visitor joining us now on line one.
Oh.
Max, is that you, Cedric Maxwell?
Yeah, I'm actually sitting here looking at you guys and thinking like, oh, there's my guy right there. Hey, there's Marcus Mark, best buddy.
Who, Felger?
Adam Jones.
No, Jones!
Move a little to the side.
Yeah.
Right?
Max, they have to explain right jokes on this show. Max, they missed him last night, huh?
They did. I mean, Marcus is not playing defensively. I think that they struggle. And I think you look at Rob Williams, he struggles. But it's real funny when I look at some of the callers calling in and just going to town, like, what happens if they get slapped around like bitches? I'm like, what happens if they win? It's like, really? Are we at that point right now where we just thinking like, okay, this is just something that happened overnight? I think that, and look, I'll be the first one to say it like Adam Jones. I didn't see this coming, but what I do see is, man, this guy has really coached a hell of a team. And I think you also look what Brad has done. Brad has been pretty good what he's done with this team.
So, Max, look, you said that the turnaround didn't happen overnight. It almost felt like it did, Max, right? Like they literally flipped a switch and have gone 20-3, and the stretch has gone on longer than that. But one of the points we made earlier, and I'll ask you this and let you go because I know you didn't call in to talk to us all day, Max, with all due respect. But aren't the stakes for them in the postseason, Max, now high? Aren't those really big stakes?
Yeah, I think they've increased. I think the fan base really looks at it now like, look, can they – at first we were thinking like, can they make it to the finals? Now we're looking at, could they make it to the Eastern Conference finals? Now people are saying, man, can this team win? And they've several polls have it that, Celtics are favored to win the championship. So I think it's kind of crazy. Expectations have gone way up right now with Tatum and Brown and the whole cast. They've just played well.
All right, Max. We'll let you go. I got to believe the job's a hell of a lot more fun now than it was about a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Jesus Christ, it absolutely is. And if I just hear Adam, let me hear Adam Jones saying, I love Marcus Smart before I go.
Oh, I love Marcus. It's great content. I love Marcus Smart.
Gentlemen, have a good one.
All right, Max. Thank you later. Cedric Maxwell, obviously color analyst on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics broadcast. Kind enough to call us here on the program. Jones has got your headlines. We'll be back shortly to talk more with you on Felgram-Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
A couple years ago, it's Philip Rivers. Last year, they go with Carson Wentz. Colts are doing this every offseason. Is Ryan what they need?
He's more of what they need than what they had. Like, well, we can put it that way. Here's what I would say. I think that Bart has assessed kind of how what their plan is for winning. And I think you can easily make the argument that if you were to look at the roster in comparison to the Titans, who were the one seed last year, like, it's, you actually would probably like it better. You know, when the composite of both sides of the ball, the offensive line, the run game, like you maybe favor Derrick Henry. At the same time, Jonathan Taylor is one of the best backs in the league. So you want a quarterback that can play kind of in that environment of shrinking the game, not, you know, making the critical error. And I think when you look at Matt Ryan, having the experience playing in big games and not having a history of kind of stubbing your toe in the most critical moment, that fits the bill much more than what they had.
And that's Matt Hasselbeck on ESPN. I'm sorry, Tim Hasselbeck on ESPN earlier in the day. I don't totally agree with him. Mac Ryan did stub his toe in the Super Bowl. I mean, let's not say that he's, you know, Matty Ice, the Iceman, down in the stretch of all these games, because he wasn't. But he's better than Carson Wentz. He's better than Philip Rivers was at the end. Philip Rivers couldn't even throw the freaking ball. You remember how bad that was? So I think the Colts have gotten better. And they went 9-8, and they beat the Patriots late in the year. Now, look, they ended up, you know, crapping their pants, losing to Jacksonville, didn't get into the playoffs, completely fell apart.
But so much of that had to do with Wentz himself.
He was horrid.
They needed a real upgrade, and they have upgraded. Like, again, it's Matt Ryan. I was never the biggest fan, but the guy is a former MVP, and he's, if nothing else, better than Wentz.
He's a pro quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? He's always been a, you know, top half of the league quarterback. He's not, I don't know how often he's been anything better than top 10. You know, he's never been in the top five. He's not one in the, he's not an elite guy per se, but he's not a complete stiff and a bum. And I think that they do have a lot of weapons here that'll make the game. And I say weapons.
They could use another wide receiver.
Yes, absolutely.
Their secondary could use some improving. I mean, that team still has their flaws, but great offensive line, really good running back.
And excellent.
Now, yeah, you know. So
the job should be easier for him now.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a, in that way, you could say it's a similar model to what the Patriots want to do for Mac Jones. So Indy's a factor. So again, we've been, you know, we've covered a lot of ground today. It's been mostly football, but we've touched on the Celtics. We've touched on the Red Sox, certainly the Bruins as well. So we'll finish it out with your calls here over the next, you know, 8 or 9 minutes or so. Chris is in Hartford on Jaylen Brown and the Celtics.
Maz, first off, congratulations. You know, if you can't play for the Red Sox growing up as a Red Sox fan to be able to call a game, you actually made it, buddy. So I just want you to take a step back once in a while and understand that, okay?
Well, thank you. Yeah, get to the Celtics.
Yep. And so we're going to talk about Jaylen Brown, and the biggest guy in this whole scenario is the coach Udoka. About 2 months ago against the Wizard, Brown started to pull his, you know, I'm going to do it on myself, all myself, and he benched him. So he took a little, you know, humble pill that day, and then when he sprained his ankle a couple weeks ago when the Celtics kept winning, he sat back and realized, this team really doesn't need me. So Udoka is going to use Brown, but I think that he does have the balls to put him on the bench if needed. All right, have a great day.
Yeah, so Chris, I think the big thing is Udoka got through to them. He got through to them. I'm not telling you it's the X's and O's or anything else. I think this team's always had the ability. The question was whether or not they wanted to play together. Jones, do you give Udoka credit?
Yeah, I definitely do. But I don't know if it's specific to Jaylen Brown. I give him credit for tightening the rotation and, you know, the strong messaging, which I think they were hesitant and resistant to early on. But I think that's worked, you know, compared to G. Willikers. I think that's definitely worked. And maybe any new voice would have worked. Not to take away from Udoka, but I think getting Brad out of there made sense. I just think what you just hit on is what it is. if they want to play together, and that's reassuring, maybe they do. You know, Marcus Smart finally bought in. Maybe he was worried about getting traded. I've heard you say that a bunch, Big Jim. Maybe Jalen's worried about the same thing. Maybe Jalen understood. Look, if we don't figure it out, I think Bull Pett reported something to this effect around the trade deadline. If they don't figure it out, Jalen Brown might be asking out or maybe elsewhere. So, I don't know. Maybe they bought in and said, all right, if it's going to happen, we got to buy in and make it happen. And they've made it happen to their credit.
He's definitely has something to do with this. He's tapped into something. For me, now the second guess is, should they have done that restructuring, the firing of Ainge, because that's what it was, and bumping Brad up to the front office, should they have done it sooner? So maybe we got to get these results sooner, you know?
Yeah, a lot of it I do think is related to the maturity of the players, too. So I don't know. I mean, maybe the timing could have been done earlier. Maybe it was the right timing. But, you know, and I understand Felger's point on this. He says he's not giving Udoka credit because it's a players' league. So I understand his point on that. I would tell you, though, that the change made a difference.
Right, so he's saying credit the players more than Udoka, but Udoka deserves some credit.
I would just say the change mattered.
Yeah.
The change mattered.
From Stevens to him, 100%.
Yeah. Right, a new voice in there mattered, and it was someone that all of a sudden they were more willing to listen to. And so the change mattered, and that it got them to invest.
Because it took them a while to get there, though. It took them half a season to get there.
Absolutely, Jimmy, 100%. Yep, absolutely it did. And so maybe there was...
So what happened?
Well, you tell me.
Everyone got threatened.
Okay, so maybe it was that. Maybe it was that simple.
Threatened what? To get sent out of town?
Threatened like, okay, we'll blow the coach out of here. Marcus Smart, you'll be gone. Jalen Brown, you'll be gone. Or do you guys want to make it work? That's what I believe happened.
You know what? I wouldn't rule that out.
Yeah, me either.
I wouldn't rule out that there was an ultimatum, if that's what you want to call it, that said, hey, look, you had your new coach for half a year and you haven't figured it out yet. You have a little more time here. If you don't get this thing right, we're going to rip it apart.
Listen, you knuckleheads, we're sending everybody out of here. We'll send you all over the USA.
Exactly.
Jones, threaten something that you come like back. That. Do it.
Something like that, Jones.
In the G. Willikers voice.
I'll come back and coach all of you.
Matt New Bedford of the Bruins. Go, Matt.
Worth it.
So this is very petty of me and reading into it a little bit. But
Matt, you should know we're never petty on this show.
Yeah, I like this.
We never do that on this program. Go ahead. What do you got?
Right, you're never petty. My fiance keyed me in on this. Last night after the game, Jake DeBrus was asked if he was disappointed about not being traded or whatever, and he responded with, "Oh well, you know, whenever you're on a team that can make a run at a Stanley Cup, you know, that's never a disappointing thing. That's what we're all here for." And as I thought about it, and after my girl told me about it, I'm like, "Hey, yeah, you're right. Like, would he not be okay if they weren't going for a Stanley Cup or didn't have a chance at a Stanley Cup? Like, I don't know. I already have a problem with DeBrusque, and it just is another little thing for me." So,
yeah. So look, if you're worried about DeBrusque, you should be worried about DeBrusque. He's shown that he will shut it down. So the thing is, now he has a 2-year extension. He's guaranteed the equivalent of what amounts to $8 million over the next 2 years. That's what the cap hit's going to be. And so whether the Bruins can trade him or not, he's going to get his money. Will he now shut it down? Will he do what he did for what amounts to, 2 years? I mean, the guy sucked for 2 years and then had the audacity to demand a trade. Like, there's a nice trick. Wow, I've sucked for you for 2 years, but I'm blaming you. So trade me. Well, great. We can't trade you unless you get better.
Well, I still believe they could have. I just think they didn't want to take pennies on the dollar.
Right. They didn't want to give him away. Do you blame them?
Yes. I would have given him away.
I don't. I don't blame them because they don't have a lot to trade. And this is part of the problem when you draft like crap. And if you want to blame Sweeney for that, that's fine. But you have a chance to elevate the value of an asset before you trade him. I don't mind them signing him and trying to take a crack. I don't.
I'm more with Jones in that if he's going to end up going back to like being maybe problematic or have an attitude issue, or he's got something with Cassidy, which I think is the main reason why he doesn't want to be here in the first place. Like, he has some sort of beef with Cassidy because Cassidy rides him, God forbid, because that's what a coach is supposed to do. If you could have got even a small return, you should have moved on.
Rock and Stoneham, go.
Hey, Jones, you're 100% correct. I really do believe Jacksonville is going to be better than the Patriots next year. They have a Super Bowl winning coach. Overall, their coaching staff is better than the Patriots in totality. You have a stud quarterback. You also have a stud running back that played down last year in Travis Etienne. So not to mention the free agency pickups. To your point, what Patriots did last year, they're doing this year. So overall, I think they should be in the mix, and they might be better than the Pats this year. That's my take, guys.
Okay, Rock, thank you for the call. We're going to move right along because you agreed with Jones. Our buddy Tommy's in Lynn. Tommy, what do you got?
What's up, boys? This is what I got to say about the Bruins before I start my take. You, Jake DeBrusk, all right? Maz, Jake DeBrusk. He needs to shut his mouth because he just got a big extension yesterday. And I'm at a restaurant, Bobby's at Rosetti's. You ever been there, Murray? Rosetti's and Lynn?
Can't say I have.
Oh, it's a good place. And Bobby usually calls the show. He's Bobby from Revere. I want to shout him out.
All right, Tommy. Listen, thanks a lot, pal. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Get a chicken parm for me, Tommy.
Yeah.
I want to go back to actually the caller prior who thinks agreed with Jones that the Jags will be better than the Patriots next year.
Could be.
Could be. But if they get off to like a hot start, the Jaguars, I need you to become Jags Jones. So you've already became like the Brooklyn Nets fan.
Yeah.
You had the hat and everything.
Yeah.
You got to get yourself some Jags gear.
I'll get myself some Jag swag. I can do that.
change the Twitter avatar.
Yeah. Hockey Jones becomes Jags Jones.
Jones.
Two-tone hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I can get in on that.
All right, because Murray liked the call. We'll squeeze in one more. Bernie in New Hampshire. Celtics thought for Jones. Go ahead. What do you got? Bernie!
How you doing? I just want to congratulate Jones on his theorem of mediocrity. Since he introduced that the Celtics can't lose, if he can introduce the theory of they can't win the world championship, we're in.
That is true.
Okay, there you go.
We had the theorem of mediocrity on the night show, which was no matter what the Celtics did, won 3 in a row, lost 5 in a row, they'd just come back to 500 because that's what they did for like two years straight. I'd say we've disproved that one. I think that's been disproved. Many scholars thought, at one point, scholars thought the world was flat, you know, like they didn't believe in, I don't know, they had to solve gravity and things like this. Like it took them a while to stumble upon these things. Not every theorem is airtight. Us scholars know that.
Yeah. 20-3 run will do that to that mediocrity theory.
Yes.
Yeah. They'll blow that one right out of the water.
Yes.
Okay. Final word is next. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest price on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. So as was pointed out by a caller, I believe last segment, Tony Maz, congratulations again, the newest member of the Boston Red Sox.
Yes, right.
And as a new team employee, you know, he can wear his opinions on his sleeve. And sometimes he really leans into them. Sometimes with a little added emotion.
Xander Bogaerts is a better player than Trevor Story. Fact. Fact.
Yeah, and until the signing, every Red Sox fan on the planet would have agreed with that.
I think a lot of them still do, except for the nerds. Okay? So he's a better player, but is Bogaerts at $30 million worth more than Story at $23 million? This is where you get into that stupid conversation. And I would say, I don't give a rat's ass about the extra $7 million. I want the better player. There's no salary cap in baseball. Yes, there's a luxury tax, but they're the Red Sox. Part of the advantage of being in a big market is that you can do it that way. I want the better player. Why do I have to play that stupid game? Then I'm doing what the Patriots do. You want to give me that NFL salary cap bull crap? I don't want to play that game either. Get me good players. I want good players. Oh, and then you make up this bull crap that Xander Bogaerts' defense sucks, and it doesn't suck. God, that's so annoying. I just hate when people manipulate the facts. Because we never do that.
Yeah, it's the worst. I hate that, too.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Oh, I don't know why this one ran up my backside so much like it did. You got a franchise guy there. You're homegrown. He wants to stay. And what, you're going to push him out the door? Whether it's the team doing it or the nerds. You know, the Millikens of the world.
No, it started from the front office, and they just pick it up because they worship Heim Bloom. It's a false narrative. That's why it goes up your caboose the way that it does.
Be careful with that kid. He's a good player. He's a good player, and the other guys on the team gravitate to him, whether you want to believe it or not.
And in the interest of full disclosure, you hurt your hand doing that, too.
I did, yeah. During the break, I said to Murray, that hurt. I shouldn't hit the table that hard. I got agitated by it.
It was an homage to John Henry.
Because in all due respect, years ago, before our existence here at the Sports Hub, that was the old line all the time about the Patriots. It's about the value. The value. I don't give a rat's ass about the value. I want good players. I want good players that'll win and entertain me at the same time. I'm sorry, as a sports fan, that's what you want. You want good players who win and make it entertaining. Sorry, I'm getting worked up just talking about it again. All right, who's in tonight for Jones?
Arcand
and who? McBone? It is? McBone? Is he with us later in the week again, McBone?
No.
Oh, he's not.
It's Jones tomorrow and then Joe Murray on Thursday and Friday.
Jeopardy Joe. All right. Yeah, hold on to your wallets when he's around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.